Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high-quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby! Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniel's. Jack Daniel's and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniel's and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Well, they say you can't win them all, but I think we all walk away from this game thinking you still should have won this game. The Buffalo Bills fall to the New England Patriots, first loss of the season, 23-20 on the strength of an Andres Borealis field goal with very little time left on the clock. We're here to talk about it right on the field, post-game. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove, it's always game day in Buffalo. Am I right to say that? Do you feel like maybe you kind of let one slip away here with penalties and turnovers and the way the team played?
I don't want to go as far as saying that the Bills lost the game. I sometimes roll my eyes when I hear that. They didn't make it any easier on themselves, and I think they put themselves into too big of a hole and ultimately could not climb out of that hole. I mean, in the fourth quarter, they were down 10 points. To their credit, a little bit of credit, they erased that deficit, but they still gave the Patriots enough time. This game, to me, and this loss, is about three big things. The turnovers, really bad. The penalties were way too often. And Stephon Diggs torched them. Those are the three big storylines of this game to me from the Bills' perspective, and that's why they're 4-1 instead of 5-0.
Yeah, and I would say let's start with let's go in order here. The turnovers. Look, they have played. They have gone 27, I think, in straight games. I could be wrong on that. Mm-hmm. This might be game number 27 of not losing the turnover battle. At some point, your luck's going to run out, but you still don't want to have those turnovers. Josh Allen threw a bad interception. He threw it in double coverage. Keon Coleman had a bad fumble, and then early on, that play to Dawson Knox, I think that is squarely also on Joe Brady calling a jet sweep to a tight end. Hey, if it works, it's creative, but you are taking a risk there.
Sean McDermott, it wasn't directly a shot, but felt like there was some subliminal messaging, or not even like subliminal messaging. He said he felt like they got a little bit too cute. I mean, an end around to a tight end, and a tight end who's not necessarily a burner. Like, what is that going to do? Are you going to gain 4 yards? If you're going to do a play like that, just turn around and hand it to James Cook, and then you take some of the risk that's out of it. The Keon Coleman one just simply cannot happen. But it's funny how we talk about the turnovers and the penalties. They go hand in hand, because on the Josh Allen interception, it was second and three.
That's a great point.
Khalil Shakir takes an OPI pass interference penalty. It makes it second and 13. At this point, now you're playing behind the sticks. You're trying to force something into an area of the field where you don't have a ton of space, and Josh Allen makes a bad throw. I asked him after the game if he forced throw the throw. It was just a bad throw. When I was watching it live, it felt like he was trying to force in a ball into a window that wasn't really there. But it's funny how these things kind of stack onto each other and create this little domino effect, especially there. I mean, okay, let's say that ball falls to the ground. It's third and 13. They don't get a first down. They kick a field goal. I mean, like a field goal in this game, 3 points would have been very, very different. I mean, maybe that's a long kick to tie the game, or who knows how it ultimately plays
out. I agree with you. Eric Wood on the radio broadcast always says the little things that add up, those that little thing that happens on one play just compounds the problem on the next play. And that's a great example you just gave of Khalil Shakir's penalty compounding what happened on the next play, which was an interception thrown by Josh Allen. All right, that's the turnovers. Then you get to the penalties. Look, there are some times where penalties are, you got beat by a man, you reach back, you hold. There's also penalties that very questionable. And this was a crew that liked to throw a lot of flags. I get that, okay? We can go down that road. It's not where I want to go. I want to say that this is also a focus issue, because you can't have alignment issues, You can't have blocking before the ball is caught as an offensive player. You know, these are things, you know, you can't let that happen. And they did. And to me, that's a lack of focus.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that that's simply inexcusable, right? Yeah. I think that the turnovers, those are also inexcusable, but those are just mistakes that sometimes happen in a football game. These penalties are things that could be avoided. I think off the top of my head, they had 9 accepted penalties in the first half. Most of those are on the offense. Then there were a couple other ones. They had 2 on the same play that were wiped out because they didn't convert the play. They had another one that was wiped out by a Patriots penalty that also happened on the same play that then the Patriots converted on. So it was like a double whammy against them. It was just way too many mistakes for the Bills. And I mean, that's the name of this game. They made a ton of mistakes, and the Patriots, to their credit, didn't. And, you know, I know this is a Bills podcast, and most of the people who are listening to this are more focused about the Bills. Drake May played fantastic. He was really, really good in this game. He didn't make any mistakes. Josh Allen did.
He didn't push the ball down the field, but he didn't need to. But what he did was, he was incredible in, like, Josh Allen type of situations. Like, he made Josh Allen type plays tonight, is actually what he did.
Think about the last drive when they go down the field, they get a field goal, right? Daquan Jones, it looks like,
it might be the play of the game. I mean, there were a few of them, but that was an incredible play by him.
I mean, if he doesn't get that ball out, now you're looking at what, second and 15, second and 18, somewhere in that range. They're even further back. Maybe their strategy changes a little bit because they don't want to give the Bills the ball back with too much time, and maybe they just try and run a couple plays or some screen passes or something. It was an unbelievable play. He made a great play to Boutte on the sideline. I mean, obviously, some of the throws to Diggs. Diggs cooked. Diggs killed them in this game consistently over and over and over again.
And that was your number 3. Let's get to it. 12 targets, 10 catches, 146 yards. He didn't find the end zone. He was upset at himself. He really wanted to get in the end zone on one that he got, he got loose a little bit down here. And I don't know what. Like, to me, there's no excuse. He's like the only big receiver they have, the only real receiver they have. Mm-hmm. No offense to the other guys. I mean, even talking about Mac Hollins, who played for the Buffalo Bills, but look at the numbers. I mean, Keyshawn Booty did nothing. 3 catches, 43. Uh-huh. All they've done, and we said going into this week, and I said it how many times, it is basically you get the ball to Stephon Diggs, and then it's a whole bunch of tight ends, a whole bunch of running backs.
Stephon Diggs had 19 more receiving yards than all of the other 6 Patriots pass catchers combined. Stephon Diggs at 146 yards, all of the other Patriots catchers. So other wide receivers, tight ends, and the running backs had 127 yards combined. He was literally there, not literally, but he was almost their entire offense in this game. And I think that's why it's a tad frustrating, because you knew that was going to be the case going into this game. Of course, this team wanted to give Stephon Diggs the ball. Of course, he was their most legitimate target. And you still let that happen. And almost every time he won his battle, like almost every time he had one that he dropped that should have been a first down. And then other than that, I think there was the one that was the pass interference at the back of the end zone. Like, those were the only plays that he did not catch.
And give credit to the Patriots offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniel, getting Drake May out in space, moving a little bit. The Bills have struggled with some mobile QBs. They struggled in this one to maintain when it wasn't that Drake May ran for a lot of yards. He didn't. He actually did a nice job of tackling him when he tried to run, but getting out of the pocket, throwing to Stephon Diggs a few times. So, Matt, from your vantage point, what was the reason that Stephon Diggs had the big day?
Well,
big night.
I think that there were some really, really favorable matchups, right? And that's a problem with the Bills just in general. Like, we have talked about the questions and concerns with their cornerback position and specifically their second cornerback position. I am not completely absolving Christian Benford of this day, right? There were a couple times when he got beat, but it felt...
Taron Johnson, by the way.
Yeah, and Taron Johnson, but it felt to me like this was a cornerback two problem, which is why they went and drafted a cornerback in the first round who is now still unavailable. And then to make matters worse, the Dorian Strong injury has now popped him up on an injured reserve. So you don't have that in your back pocket. So that's why I just think that Diggs was winning his matchups. I think that he is great at separating and he is great at going off script. Drake May made some plays off script in this game and Diggs was able to create a ton of separation.
Let's look at some of the overall numbers. The Bills are the best team in the NFL at running the football. At the end of this one, they come up with 118 yards rushing. Not a bad day, 4.1 yards, not what they're used to. That is actually really good compared to what most teams do against the Patriots. But I think the problem was they didn't get some of those sustainable runs to put them in third and short, keep the chains moving like we've seen, and then they would hurt themselves by shooting themselves in the foot. Every game we see a long run by James Cook. What was the longest run in this game?
Maybe like 11 yards.
He had a 9-yard run. That was it. That was the longest run. And that 9-yard run is a nice run. That's one he almost broke over here, by the way. But the Bills did not have a kind of a busted run, and they usually have one of those a game.
They usually have a couple of them, and that's why it felt like when you go back to the comment about Eric Wood, it's all of the things that stack up on top of each other.
Yep.
They didn't run as effective as they normally do, and once again, to this game had, I think, the second best run defense in the NFL, and they did a really nice job. But a lot of times the Bills have a little bit of a formula, and sometimes they become a little bit too predictable. A lot of the time it's run the ball on first down, and usually when they are going against a not so dominant run defense, that runs for 5-6 yards and they put themselves in favorable positions. In this game, they were only getting 3 or 4 yards off the rip. And then because of the penalties, all of a sudden that would turn into, okay, now it's 2nd and 13, it's 2nd and 16, whatever it is. And honestly, a couple times Josh Allen got them out of it. Like even on the first drive of the game, he throws a ridiculous throw in there to Dalton Kincaid. And then he has a big scramble that gets them out of it. And another big gain later on. It's just the penalties kept on popping up again.
Josh Allen, by the way, knee kind of got twisted a little bit. He was limping pretty good on the last, maybe second to last series. Just something to monitor. He didn't like leave the game or anything like that. But when he tried to scramble, got tackled, knee twisted. It looked like on the replay, but he was definitely limping. It was bothering him for a little while. And it looks like the Bills lost Matt Milano again.
Yeah.
He has a pec injury. He did not play basically the entire second half. I think he was out there for a few plays in the second half, kind of the exact same way it went down against the Jets. And at this point, you don't know how severe it is. He never left the field. He never went in the tent, but he did not play. Shaq Thompson, Joe Andreessen both came in. They played linebacker for the Bills, but you just have to wonder how much you can rely on Matt Milano being out there now.
I don't know if you can. I feel like Matt Milano is going to be a luxury and not something that they have for the foreseeable future. I mean, another re-injuring the same pec injury, right? Let's just assume that he is not going to play against the Falcons, right? I mean, given right. the pec injury, and then because they've got the bye week after that. So one of the few defensive bright spots in this game was Shaq Thompson, so that is at least a good sign. But you also have an injury to Dorian Williams, which is why at times you were putting – Joe Andreessen out on the field in this game. So yeah, like I feel like Matt Milano injury continues to pop up, and like, yeah, they would have loved in this game to have had Ed Oliver, to have had TJ Sanders, but they didn't. And really the defensive line, you know, like I said at the beginning, or at least I think I did, I think the defense played well enough to win them this game. If you told anybody listening or watching this podcast before the game that the Patriots were going to score 23 points, you would have said like, okay, well, the Bills are going to score 30 or 31 because that's what they do every single game and that they're going to win. So they didn't. I mean, I think that this game is much more about the Bills' off.
Yards of 338, Bills in favor there, but 6.0 yards a carry or a play for both teams, right? I mean, like the stats were very, very similar in this game. Even the penalties, they're a little more on the Bills' side. Numbers wise, but yardage wise, because of two big time 15-yard penalties late, the Patriots 8 for 93. The difference in this game, folks, was one turnover versus another. That's an extra possession for the New England Patriots. Matt brought it up earlier, how much that possession changes the game, whichever possession you want to call it, but maybe you get a field goal on that. I do want to look at the defensive numbers here because the Bills did sack Drake May four times, and they were credited with eight quarterback hurries. I actually thought the pass rush was not that bad tonight. Uh-huh. They were getting to Drake May, but he was mobile enough to escape a couple of times and make a couple of plays with his legs.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Greg Rousseau had a nice play on the first drive of the game. Shaq Thompson had a play that I think was ruled a sack where he
was
chased him to the side.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sideline, like that was a really, really impressive play. I feel like Epinesa got him at one point as well, off the top of my head.
Here are the sack numbers right here for the Bills. They had one for Rousseau, one for Thompson, a half for Deion Walker and AJ Epinesa. They shared that one. Okay. And there should be one in here I'm missing. Oh, one for Cole Bishop got credit for a sack. When did that happen? Didn't realize.
It might have been like a scrambling out of bounds, and he was the closest to touch him. I really don't know. Joey Bosa in this game really. Didn't feel like he was very, you know, like just didn't feel like he popped a ton in this game. You know, I don't remember noticing Landon Jackson at all in his first game. I don't even know how many snaps.
He did play. For all of you who wanted Landon Jackson to play, he did play. I mean, I don't know what his reps were, like Matt just said, but he didn't really affect the game very much. It looked like that. I'll say that. The Bills actually did a really good job. The one area they did a good job tonight that we were concerned about, special teams, kick coverage, forced a fumble. Cam Lewis, a great hit. They did a nice job on the return men, on Marcus Jones, on the Patriots returner. So that was nice. And how about Dalton Kincaid? I believe it's his first ever 100-yard receiving game. This was a Dalton Kincaid game. The Bills knew they had a great matchup with Dalton Kincaid against whoever, I can't remember, was guarding him a lot. But this was a nice game for Dalton Kincaid. And it's not just the yardage. Six targets, six catches. That's nice to see.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Another day, another major event, tariff, and a new random zit. Strange times like these can lead to extra stress, which can lead to unpredictable breakouts. The good news is that Mighty Patch Original shrinks the look of pimples in just one use. That's a pretty good deal for your skin and your wallet. Shop Mighty Patch at all major retailers.
The holidays have arrived at the Home Depot, and we're here to help bring the excitement with decor for every part of your home. Check out our wide assortment of easy-to-assemble pre-lit trees so you can spend less time setting up and more time celebrating. And bring your holiday spirit outdoors with unique decor like one of our Santa inflatables. Whatever your style, find the right pieces at the right prices this holiday season at the Home Depot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every time that they looked his way, he was able to make a play. I know he banged up his finger a little bit later in the game, but it felt like, you know, he finished the game. 18 yards average per catch, 23-yard gained the longest one. Like, he was just really, really solid and effective in this game. But then it brings us to the rest of the questions with the wide receiver room and the lack of productivity. This is a conversation we have had ever since we started doing this podcast together. Do the Bills have enough talent in the wide receiver room? They could use a guy like Stephon Diggs, admittedly, in their wide receiver room. The questions about the separation. You're on the sideline. I'm in the press box. I was reading some posts on X about some of the comments that Chris Collinsworth was making during the broadcast. And it sounded like, from the comments that I read, one of the things that Collinsworth said was that it looked like Josh Allen had a lot of time to throw and that he was really being protected well by his offensive line, which I think at the surface I would agree with. But I also think there's times when he's holding on to the ball because he's waiting for something to develop and it's just taking too long. And that is one of the reasons why he's holding on to the ball a split second too long. And then when you're holding on to the ball and it's in your hands for 3.5, 4 seconds and there's nobody downfield, that's when it turns into the little rushes or, you know, opening yourself up to a hit or trying to throw a contested catch and hoping that you're getting a play from somebody.
All right, let's talk big picture. Bills are 4-1 now. They no longer are unbeaten. In fact, they were the last unbeaten team in the NFL because the Philadelphia Eagles lost earlier in the day to the Denver Broncos. But if you go to the overall, let's do this. Let's go to the overall AFC and AFC East standings. The Bills still on top of the division at 4-1, but now the Patriots are one game back and they have head-to-head. And I will tell you, the next three games for the Patriots, Matt, have you seen this? Saints, Titans, Browns. They're very, very winnable games for the New England Patriots. And the Buffalo Bills have a game against the Atlanta Falcons. If the Bills happen to drop next week, there is a chance, a very legitimate chance, they are no longer in first place in their own division in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Next Monday night.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, the Patriots have the benefit of a fourth place schedule, right? So they are going to get some really, really favorable matchups. I think the Patriots are legit. I know that, you know, I always have a team that I'm probably a little bit higher on than most people. I think Drake May is very good. I think Stephon Diggs still obviously has a lot of juice. I have no idea why they don't fully go to Travion Henderson. It feels like he's got a ton of juice in this game. The thing I'll say big picture, I am not panicking if I am a Bills fan in this game. They did a bunch of stuff really, really poorly on Sunday night. They're still tied for first in the entire AFC. They still have a really, really favorable schedule. Like some of the games that when the schedule came out at the beginning of the season that you looked at and you're like, oh, those are really, really tough. I mean, the Bengals without Joe Burrow are one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Didn't we say they'll probably go like 5-1 in the division, 4-2 might be a disappointment, but 6-0 might be a lot to ask for. I mean, that's always tough to do. On top of what you just said, they're still in first place. They made a ton of mistakes tonight and lost on a field goal with 15 seconds left, right? I mean, I am not going to go as high as you are on the Patriots. I like Drake May. I think he did some nice things. I don't think they have enough offensive talent to really be that legit. I think that they're a good – you know what they are, though? They're a team that's going to play messy football, and if they can capitalize on a few mistakes that you make like they did tonight, they'll be there at the end. I just don't know if they have enough. They do have a schedule that's favorable enough for them to be there, but I didn't see enough from them tonight to let me think that they're like a serious AFC contender, but even in the East. But they do play the kind of football where, hey, if you're going to make some mistakes, they're going to – as Chris Brown said, his word, muck it up enough where they can take advantage of that.
Yeah, the one thing I was not ignoring you. Do you know or will you guess what the line is against the Falcons next week? The Bills were an 8.5-point favorite in this game and lost, but I mean, I think that speaks to the fact that they just made tons of mistakes.
The Bills are going to Atlanta. Atlanta's got a bye week, so they're going to be rested up. They looked really good their last game. That was against a decent Commanders team. I'm going to say Bills by 6.
4.5.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, listen, this is not a walk in the park, a get right game. But I do feel like I said in one of the last pods that we did, and everybody always comments like, oh, this is drought brain Bove. I said you needed to split between the Falcons and the Patriots.
You did.
So now, okay, you lost to the Patriots. You better go beat the Falcons going into your bye week, right? Like you would feel so much better about this team at 5-1 than 4-2 going into the bye week. Coming out of it, you got the Panthers, right? Like you better win that game, obviously, for sure. But yeah, like, I just really do think there are reasons to be concerned, but there shouldn't be a ton of panic. Not yet. They do this every single year. Last year, it was against Houston. Well, it was against the Ravens. Right. Then it was against Houston. And then they squeak out a win against the Jets, I think, to get to 4-2 last year. The year before, they, you know, like threw up on themselves for like half of the season and then got hot at the end. The year before that was the game where they went to Jacksonville and lost to the Jags. They do this every single year. So it's going to happen, and it's going to happen again. It's just going to, because it's a 17-game season. So, you know, I don't think this guy is falling yet.
No, it's sports. That's what happens. And as you hear, we said, a lot of guys said it to us, stay in the locker room. Well, that guy gets paid too. The other guy gets paid too, right? I mean, people, they say that, professional, right? And hey, they lost a football game tonight. They're still in first place. They are the number two seed right now behind Indy in the AFC after all is said and done, but a lot to clean up. No doubt. We are not saying that everything's perfect either. I agree with Matt. Sky's not falling. No need to panic, but there's a lot to clean up, and it starts with cleaning up the penalties and the discipline, and that's got to happen starting on Monday. All right, well, next time we talk a little bit later in the week, we'll come at you, everybody, probably from Wednesday from you know, practice. And then the Bills actually have an extra day to get ready for the Atlanta Falcons, but they've had 2 weeks to get ready for the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, they've been on a bye week. They had that really strong performance. I think Drake May's really good. So, like, when I think about the Falcons game, I'm like, okay, I think Drake May is more talented than Michael Penix at this point in his career, but that team has weapons that are just really, really impressive. Like, Bijan Robinson is awesome. Drake London is awesome. Kyle Pitts is like a frozen water bottle. When it eventually, like, thaws out, it's going to be something really, really great. It's just still probably a little bit too frozen. So, like, yeah, I just think collectively they got a tough game. And not for anything, the Falcons' defense has been pretty impressive up to this point this season. So I think the Bills are going to have a little bit of a hard time offensively in this game coming up.
We get a game in a dome next week, actually, after being outside here. It was beautiful weather, though. Not complaining. It was great here in Orchard Park. Unfortunately, on the night the Bills unveiled their rivalry jerseys. By the way, what'd you think of them? How they look?
They're fine. Yeah. I mean, they lost in them, and it was the first time they lost in this building in a long time. So, yeah, don't wear them again. Don't wear them again.
I think they're 3 years, though. You got to wear them. They're wearing once for each for the next couple of years. But we'll come at you. And, of course, this week's hockey is starting up, too. So a lot going on in Buffalo sports, right?
Yeah, just what you want to hear after a Bills loss on Sunday Night Football. At least the Sabres start this week.
I love it. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks to our producer, Mike Robbie. We'll talk to you next time on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. And obviously, have a great night, everybody. If you're watching us late at night here from Orchard Park, or if you're listening, whatever it is, make sure you're always subscribed to us at Sal Sports on the YouTube side, and of course on audio wherever you pod.
And Doug, here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu, is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.